The evidence of Tom's Horses to Watch List success is 2 years, what's almost 3 years old, isn't it? Over 3 years old. Properly placed, those horses within three races have been winning at a prodigious rate. I can't give you the exact figure now because, but it's well over what you would anticipate a single horse handicapping skill to produce. And they have produced some pretty fabulous price horses. Wait till Monday, $110, $114. Last weekend, $103. A lot of $40 and $50 horses, $60. Is that good in there? Hey, who's in there? Spencer! Get yourself in here. Tom Brougham's about to come on. You know we don't talk when Tom Brougham's going to come on.
Is Schmidt talking in there too? For a warm-up act, you've got a lot of gall, Schmidt.
Cut off his bathroom privileges.
And beside which, you're being paid to transcribe every word he says because he won't write for us anymore since it's William Morrow contract. We now have to steal his spoken word and put it on pictures.
Let's get it. You all subscribe to the follow-up.
How many Brohammer columns have you seen over the last year?
I plead guilty to that.
At any rate, now's our opportunity. So hang on every word as we give you part one of the Tom Brougham Show.
2 years.
Horses to Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Brougham.
The Tom Brougham.
The only one that gets recorded.
We're going to record it.
You should put that on.
Yes.
Only Brohammer gets recorded. That's in his contract.
One last point about that race you looked at this morning. I was sitting on my hands in the back of the room. Something dropped out of here.
Right over there.
What is it? Oh, actually, it's like take a look at the horse that came up for discussion as a possible closer. And it's on the back page, or the next to the back page, it's El Gorion. Everybody got that horse? All right, now take a look at his running line prior to the race. Take a look at his last running line. Not the results chart. The last running line. Fifth by 5.5. Sixth by 6. Fifth by 6. Second ahead. If you're into betting closers or apparent closers, this is not the cut. Look at that line and let it register in your mind. This is not the kind of closer you want. Anybody know why he's not the kind of closer you want? Yes. No. Almost. He does not move. Look at his last race. 21-2, 44-2, and he's losing ground to the pace of the race, and he's lost the position in addition to that, right? So he's not making up any ground. So visualize, if you will, a lot of this comes, you should try to visualize a lot of these races because you learn a lot. Think about the races you've seen going around the turn. Think about the kind of closer you really want. There's a horse sitting back there 5 or 6 lengths and begins to move and pick up horses on the turn. That's the kind of closer you're into. This guy loses a little ground on the turn, and in the next eighth of a mile, from the quarter pole to the stretch call, what does he do then? He didn't pick up a damn thing. Let me finish, Asher. Let me finish, for God's sake. No, but the next eighth of a mile, he didn't pick up anything. Not a thing. No, from the quarter pole to the eighth pole, he picked up zip. Then the leader, I checked the charts on this, the leader who was leading by 4 at that time collapsed. ran his last eighth of a mile in 13-4. And when he collapsed, he took the rest of the field with him. And this guy picked up six lengths. How would you like to, day in and day out, at the eighth pole, look back to see your closer fifth, sixth back? Does anybody want that kind of a play? If you do, I'll book it. I mean, I've offered in these classes before to book plays, and this is one of my book all year long. This kind of a horse can be bet only under one condition. There's a horse called Tenacious Tom that runs around here. It's pretty much the same thing. He can be bet under one condition. Now, Tenacious Tom comes home fast. This guy only comes home at 25 and won himself. All right, so he's really not that much of a closer. But if you get a closer with a legitimate, good last fraction, and he runs like that, you need a field full of front-running, early pace horses before you dare touch this guy. Will everybody buy into that? Okay. If we don't conclude anything else for the day, please buy into that. This is not the kind of horse you want.
What if you want the bulls and sheep this day?
Tenacious Tom? Yeah. Now, the real closer, we're going to talk about that in a little while, the real closer in the bulls and sheep this day was a horse called Irish. He's the kind of closer you can play. I mean, he won here this week. We're going to talk about him in a little while when we address turn time. And he's the kind of closer. His closing line looks like this. That's a closer. Okay. Then in his next one, he's closer again at the eighth pole, and then he's within a length of the wire. Now that's a closer. And as they move around and turn, this is a guy that's picking up one horse, but he's also the horse that you're watching move out onto the pace setters. That's a closer. That's a true closer. And that's the kind of closer that'll win a decent percentage of races. Not this guy. So let that sink in. Let me tell you something else. We're going to get to turn time in a little while. When Irish made this move in the Bolsa Chica Stakes, he ran this quarter at 22 seconds flat. Around the turn. He was a great bet this week, but we'll talk about that later. As a test of understanding, how many of you were in this session that I conducted a year ago on variants and horses to watch list? About half of them. How many of you, raise your hand if you will, have tried to make variants at one time or another? Okay. How many do not understand what a part-time is? Okay. We'll take care of that right now. A part-time. In golf, a four-bar hole is a hole that a rating association has said should be made by a good player in four. That's par for that hole. That's what it should be done. In racing, the different class levels, based on previous data, have certain pars that they're expected to meet. At Santa Anita, a $10,000 claiming horse sprinting at 6 furlongs should run 45-2, 111-1. That's par for that race. That's basically what they should run. Now, on some days, they might run 111-3, and then you say that the track was too fast, or that race was too slow, and that race was too slow. On other days, it might run 110-4, and then you'll say that that race was fast too, and if that's the variant for the day, the whole day might have been fast too. So that's where part-times come from. And it's just an accumulation of data at a certain class level that says that based on 100 races or 50 races or whatever your database is, that's how fast that field should run on any given day. And then how fast they do run or don't run on that day constitutes the track variant for that particular day. This is not a variant class. But what we will do is create a quick and dirty variant that will be usable in your own work, so that you can go back and test the charts from any day or from the previous week to find out how many races might have been strong for their levels or how many races might have been weak for the levels. Now we're going to do one day together. We're going to do March 9th. It's in your handout. We're not going to quite start on it yet, but we're going to do March 9th, and we're going to make a variant for that day. Once we've made the variant for that day, we'll go back into the races that interest us and pull horses that perform significantly better than you might have expected, ran against turn times that were better than you might have expected, had gaps in performance between, say, the second and the third horse, maybe 5 lengths or something like that, and we'll take a look at the good races and pull from that data that the public isn't going to see next time. For example, here's the results of the race. The winner wins it by a head. And the race itself, after being adjusted, is fast 3, which says it's a high-quality race for that level. The winner wins it by a head. Second horse is second by 5. And then the third one. When this guy comes back to run, his pace line that you're looking at will say something like this, right? And I'll just put, I'll skip the stretch call. And he's beaten second ahead. That's a good line, period. But what doesn't know, without charts, they don't know that the third horse was 5 lengths behind that guy in a race that was rated 3 fast for the level. That's a monster performance then. Everybody understand what I'm getting at? That's a performance over and above what you would ever expect. So we're going to look at those charts, and from the good races we can find, we're going to pull out horses that created gaps in the performance of the next one, because people don't see that. This is what they see. They do not see the third horse 5 lengths behind it. Yes?
What you're saying is that race is 3 lengths faster than the barn?
Yeah. That's after we've made an adjustment. We're going to do that. What I'm saying is after we're finished with the variant process, we're saying that that race was run 3 lengths better than it should have been. Therefore, it's a very strong race. And this guy barely lost in it, and he created a 5 length gap to the third horse, which says those two horses really ran great. And this would be our horse to watch, because this guy's going to step into the class. This would be the horse to watch in our own performance. Okay. On the handout, just take one moment. On this one here, this is not my handout, it's the other one, the one you worked from this morning. On the inside cover of that handout is the Hollywood Far chart. Now, this was put in as an example of par charts. Do not use this par chart. Do not. It's badly outdated. Now, I left yesterday, I left the master copy of one of my Hollywood Pars with Howard. And if you send him an envelope and requesting the Hollywood Pars, self-addressed envelope, requesting the Hollywood Pars that are current, if you don't have them, send it to Howard and they'll turn it around and send it back to you. But do not use this one. This one was based on, when I first rebuilt the Hollywood racetrack, they made the mile and an eighth racetrack, right? And they put a brand new finish line in. And the 6 foot long races were run quickly into a turn and then they had a long straightaway. Now by being into the turn very quickly, the second call times were slower because they were running quicker into that turn before they had full momentum. And they were, and $10,000 claimers were running like 46 and 1. Well, a year ago fall, they moved the finish line. They used actually 2, but the finish line for the 6 furlongs now is back where it used to be. And so a 6 furlong race is one pretty much like any other 6 furlong race. And the pars are about the same as Santa Anita for 6. This one does not show 6.5, but they do run 6.5s there now because of the change in the finish line. This does not show a mile and a 16th, and they do run a mile and a 16th there. Now, the problem with Hollywood Park, if you're not aware of it, is that for the one turn mile, they still use the finish line they built when they rebuilt the racetrack. And at least once a month, some rider stands up at the first finish line and gets his horse beat. It happens at least once a month. because they hit that nine times a day they're hitting that first finish line, and then the next day they run a one-turn mile. And the temptation then is to stop at that first finish line. It's a rewind. And at least once a month, some rider stands up on his horse prior to getting to the far finish line. No, ask me how I know that for a fact.
Do the other following tracks of the country have to resort to multiple finish lines?
No. That's a great genius market.
Yeah, the pressure that they've gotten back from everyone based on... See, the other mile and eighth tracks are not an afterthought. This one's an afterthought. So the clubhouse and the grandstand are still where they were. All right? And now when they move that finish line down there, it's no good for anybody because you've got the Cary Grant Pavilion down there, which is beyond that finish line, and you've got the clubhouse and grandstand back here, which is well beyond the other side of that finish line. So that the only place that the only people that are on the line are the very far end of the box seats, the last few. They're the only ones. And they're out in the sun. So no one wants those seats. I mean, it's horrible. So by moving the finish line back to the grandstand reserved area, the people in the Cary Grant Pavilion are really out of luck. That's horrible. Okay. That's enough with that handout. The handout we're going to work from, it's 10 pages, starts with Thursday, March 9th. And on pages 1 through 5 will be the races we use together to make a track variant. And we'll try to get as much of that done in the next 25 minutes as we can. And then pick it up again a little later. But we're going to make the variant for the day and then adjust these races based on the variant and try to figure out how strong or weak they were. And I'll show you that process. And then we'll go into some of these other races, some of which I've already adjusted by a variant for you, and some others I don't even bother to use a variant for other reasons. I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you some ideas on keeping a key race. I'm going to give you some ideas on measuring turn time and what represents a good turn time in these sprints and what represents an excellent turn time. So we're going to get into some of these. And we're going to try to get used to reading charts together. Now, one last item before we start. Two last. On the very back page is the part-time chart we'll be working from. This is the current sanity of part-time chart. And we'll be working from this. This book, I'm going to leave on the table, if I can find room on the table. I'm going to leave this on the table for the rest of the afternoon. Now, this is a chart service by a fellow by the name of Mike Bloomer. And he's made a special rate for us. He charges an annual rate, but we're getting into it late. So for a rate of $150, for anybody that's interested, you can subscribe to his charts for the rest through the end of Hollywood Park. So that you get the rest of Sanity through all of Hollywood Park and the book that I've got in my hand, which goes all the way back to December 26th, the first day of Sanity. What he does is he flips all the charts, mail to you once a week so you have it Wednesdays, all the charts from the previous week, put into pages. It's all referenced by both index number, so that if you're working from results charts, you can go find the race. It's referenced by date. Now, if you're paying for chart recaps once a week, you're already spending $10 or $12 a month to start with. And this comes to somewhere in the neighborhood of $30. But anyway, it's an excellent service. He has, in the front, he also has the claims, all the claims for the meeting, who claimed the horse and who it was claimed from, a Lasik slip, date of the claim, the name of the horse, the price it was claimed for, the previous trainer and a new trainer. A Lasix list, a veterinarian's report, and that's the chart. Now I'll leave this up here because I find this to be very valuable. It sure saves me a lot of work.
How can we contact him?
I'm going to give you his name and address right now. Thank you.
What is the full years of prison?
Well, I don't know. You'll have to contact him. You might just ask him what it's worth for a year after I give you the date. I'm just going to tell you what it's worth between now and July 20th, 27th, whatever Hollywood is. But he does do it on an annual basis. That gets him out of the paperwork business and also you. His name is Mike Loomer, L-O-O-M-E-R. The address is 141 East Duarte Road, D-U-A-R-T-E, Duarte Road, Suite 105, Arcadia, California, 91006. Now, if you're interested in keep charts anywhere, this is really a bargain. Yes.
What is that phone number?
I don't have a phone number for mine.
91006.
Several other people asked for a phone number in the background. Yes.
Well, what's the advantage to this over keeping your own recaps and shooting them down? And just putting them in a three-ring binder.
Okay. Oh, if you're going to... Let me make sure I understand that question. What's the advantage to this as opposed to cutting them down and pasting them?
No, taking the chart recaps once a week, taking them to a Xerox machine, shoot them down to 64%, put them in a three-ring binder.
That's the advantage to this is the lack of effort on your part in going and getting them Xeroxed, cut down, and put into a three-ring binder. I've done that. Now I'm sloppy, and I've been keeping just the chart recaps, which were a pain in the neck. And if you go to Las Vegas or something, you can't carry it, because they're that thick to start with. So you can't carry those racing forms. I'm saying I was using the chart recaps. I'm not using the notebook, because that was a pain in the ass. So I went to the chart recaps, which was also a pain. This is so much easier. So the advantage to doing this as opposed to doing this out? None at all. It's just you're paying somebody to do that for you. Trust me when I say that no one in this room is cutting down charts and putting them in, pasting them right now, or reducing them. Is anybody doing it?
Yeah.
All right. You're the only one, and I meant to exclude you because you brought up the idea. But is anybody else doing it?
About
150,
you said?
150 through Hollywood.
Right.
That includes all of Santa Anita. Okay. Really good material. But if you're willing to go to the effort like Joe is, but a lot of you I know don't have the time to do that. Can I get about 11 of these things put away?
I wonder how many more times you're going to knock them
over. Keep dropping them. Whose computer am I throwing away?
Oh, that's mine.
Is it?
Did you lose something?
If it wasn't, it's yours now. Are you sure? Let's go to work.
I'm definitely sure.
Okay, because I had one loose up here. Someone left one.
The part-time chart, page 10. Just from that, and let me qualify a little bit, these are based on older males.
You sure that's yours?
And if I said that you have a field of older $25,000 claiming horses, male,
I lost it, but he's
and I asked you what the part time for that race would be,
you'll get yours too.
You would tell me it's 110 and 2 if Dick will shut up and get out of here. What's the par for $20,000 or $25,000 older males in six furlong? 110 and 2. What's the par for a non-winners of one allowance race?
110-1.
What's the par for a $32,000 claiming mile and a 16th prop?
$143,400.
We want to get used to working with it. What's the par for a $25,000 claiming sprint, six furlongs, for older females? Trick question. Some of you that have been working with the chart will know it. Females.
110-4.
Well, these intense. These are intense, am I correct?
No, the pace is intense. The pace numbers are intense. The final times are intense. All right. There's a lot of answers which you're supposed to give, so don't worry about it. What class level did I give you?
$25,000 female sprint, six for long.
All right. The male sprint then is 110 and 2, right?
Right.
Okay, the females, if you look down at the bottom. I want you to write something on your part-time charts. The sprint is minus 30 to the premiums, which is too late. Therefore, if the male runs 110 and 2, the females should run 110 and 4. Too late, slower than the males. Two lengths. I'm just writing those in for you. Now, right next to that, where you see route minus 40, that's four lengths. Four lengths. Now, you hear some argument as to whether it's three or four. The very highest class levels for the females is three. At the basic claiming levels, it's more like four. We're going to use four.